Hello and welcome to the Sales Technology Training Call. This is Rick Cooper. Thanks for joining me today. Got a lot of great information to share with you on the call. The call will include 30 minutes of content and 30 minutes of Q&A. You can check your email for a copy of the notes from today's call. I sent it out earlier today. To ask a question or to share a win, you can email me at rickc@ericloffholm.com. And a great place to connect with me on the internet during the call is out in our Facebook group. I included the link out in the email message that I sent. And you can certainly add that group to your favorites on Facebook to make it easy to find, or at least easier. And by the way, if you can't get access to the group, if you try to click on the link, it could be because you're not added to the group yet. First of all, we need to be friends on Facebook, so I included a link in the email. You can click to add me as a friend, and then let me know that when that step is done, and then I can add you to the group. And you can also access our audio recordings online from the calls by going to the link on the page there, and I'll just give it to you right now. It's salestechsystems.com/stp-archives, and you can get access to all the audios out there. I add them each week, and so you can access those recordings. The Sales Technology Training Program is a 12-week program that's designed to help you implement systems online to generate leads and earn sales online, and there are 12 modules of content. I've got one quick announcement before we dive into our content for the call today. I sent out an email newsletter. Some of you may be on that, and so you might have received that. And in that newsletter, I announced that I'm going to be doing a teleseminar next week. The topic is on 6 keys to automate your marketing. That's a free teleseminar. That's on Tuesday, April 29th, and that's going to be at 11 a.m. Pacific time. And I'll share the link out in the Facebook group for anybody who's interested in participating. All right, I just posted that out in the group, and I'll just give you the link right now as well if you'd like to register for that. It is salestechsystems.com/automate-marketing. salestechsystems.com/automate-marketing. And again, the topic is on 6 keys to automate your marketing. I encourage you to sign up for that. Got a lot of great information that I'll share to help you get into action to automate your business online. All right, let's dive into our content for today. And again, as I go through the content, I'd like to encourage you to share your takeaways out in the Facebook group. It creates a shared learning. It's also a way for you to connect with the other members who are on the call today. Let me just acknowledge a few of the people that called in today. Looks like we've got Alan Murphy's on the call. Thanks for joining in, Alan. And Alan's actually one of the newest members of our Technology Mastermind program. So thanks for joining in, Alan. Teresa Rippey is here. Thanks for joining in, Teresa. Teresa is a longtime client. She's participated in a number of programs. So thanks for being here. Roy Rasmussen is here. Roy is also a long-term client, also a coaching client. Thanks for joining in, Roy. And Roy is also a great one for sharing content out in the Facebook group. So thanks, Roy. Susan Schlieff is here. Susan has also been a longtime client. Susan has also participated in one of my other programs, the Information Product Creation Workshop. So thanks for joining in, Susan. And also Les Jarvila is on the line with us today. Thanks for joining in, Les. All right, so let's continue on with our content. Our topic today is on PayPal invoicing and recurring payments. PayPal invoicing and recurring payments. Now, on the surface, this might kind of sound like a boring topic. But you know what? Making money is not a boring topic. And so even though it's kind of has an accounting kind of feel to it, really we're talking about the sales application to this, because here's the thing. You might be good at sales, but if you don't have an easy way to collect money, then number one, you're going to have some problems. And unfortunately, I talk to people all the time where they made the sale, but they're still waiting to be paid. See, a lot of people in business, they have a mindset that when they sell something, they will deliver it first and then they get paid. And in my business, that's not necessarily a good way of doing it, because number one, it puts you in the position of having to chase the client afterwards. So a lot of people that I work with are in professional services. And so their time is very valuable. And so oftentimes they will do the work and then they'll invoice the client afterwards. And what ends up happening is they're constantly having to follow up with clients. And because here's the thing, when people buy something, the best time to collect the money is right then. Because as soon as you have delivered what it is that they wanted, then suddenly you become lower on the totem pole of importance. As long as you're on the front end of it, it's much easier to collect the money. If you're on the back end, it becomes much more difficult. And now you turn into a collection agent. and nobody likes collection agents. And so now you've changed the nature of the relationship with somebody when you're having to call them up and collect on money. Now, okay, it might be a little bit better if you have somebody in the office to call for you and to ask, but still, now your business is in the collection agency business, and that's not a good business to be in. And that's a good way to alienate clients long term. So I think if that's your way of doing business and if it works for you, great. But you might want to just shift your mindset and think, can you shift to a point where you're collecting money on the front end? So I want to talk about some strategies today on the call that will help you get into action to be able to collect money. And if you're having problems collecting money, then I'm going to give you some different ways that you can do that, because not everybody has all the same tools and capabilities as other people. And so we'll talk about some of the different ways to do that. And of course, there are best practices and there are some workarounds as well. So if you're not making enough money, it might be because you're not making it easy enough for people to give you money. You know, I have a mindset around online marketing and building your business online that I call the buckets of money strategy, the buckets of money strategy. And what that's all about is creating multiple opportunities for people to be able to pay you online. So one, I'll give you a simple example here. One of the best tools that you have that you can put out there online where people can pay you is a sales page, And in fact, I just finished listening to an audio program this morning. Actually, it was a video of Joe Polish. And he was talking about strategies to automate your business. And he was talking about, he's an expert in the area of direct mail response marketing. And so he studied under Gary Halpert. He's associated with Dan Kennedy, who's one of the most famous, or currently famous, direct response and direct mail marketers. And so I was listening to this audio and hearing him talk about all these ideas, and it was just kind of filling up my brain with all these techniques. And what's interesting is that a lot of these techniques that you can implement, you know, they follow a format that follows, you know, what's been used in direct mail marketing for years. You've probably heard of the concept of a sales letter, And the way a sales letter works is that you you type up a letter, you know, create it in your computer, you print it off or have somebody print it for you, you put it into an envelope, and you drop it into the mail. And I don't know if you've done any direct mail marketing before, but I have, and usually when I do it all myself. And so let me tell you, it's a project to get done. Like, I love to just be able to write an email message and then put it into my email marketing system. Like, today I sent out my email letter to thousands of people. And so it took me basically about 2 to 3 hours to write the newsletter, and then I pushed the send button, and boom, it instantly went out. It gets out there quickly and at zero cost, except for the cost of the email marketing system. So I like that kind of marketing. Direct mail marketing is a different animal, because now you have to print things, now you have to insert things into envelopes, and you have to put postage on, and you have to address the envelopes. And so there's this whole thing around that. And so there are companies that you can pay to do that for you, or you can have internal staff do it, or you can hire contractors to do it. But it's just a much different thing. But still, I like it as a process to go through. It's just that there's only so much of it that I can do. And I'm working right now on a direct mail campaign that I can do. And, you know, so I don't do huge mailings. I do kind of smaller targeted mailings. So one of the things I like about direct mail is that you can pick your list and then you can just market to that list and you can send multiple mailings to it. But the concept here is around this, the sales letter, and online we call it a sales page. It's a web page that basically is a sales letter. And a sales letter is just simply, number one, it's focused on one particular offer. And then you explain that offer in detail. You include all the features about the product. You explain the benefits of the product. And then there are other components on there that help to increase the persuasiveness of that sales letter or that sales page. And so going back to this buckets of money strategy, if you have multiple products, you can create multiple sales pages. And this is not a build it and they will come kind of strategy. This is a build it and then drive traffic to it. See, anything you do online, it's not just a matter of putting it up and then expecting people just to wander their way across it. You have to implement marketing strategies online to get people out to your sales page. So for some of you, it might be an idea of embracing a sales page, like, oh, wow, you know, that's a new idea for me. I mean, you might not have anything that you can sell online. you know, for a lot of people that are working in a network marketing company, the products that they sell are sold through the company's website. So they can't just put up a sales page and start selling products online. I mean, maybe they could, but oftentimes companies like that, they have restrictions against that. And that's where the concept of an information product comes up. So if you don't have anything that you can currently just put up on a sales page, then you can create your own information product and then use that as a way to attract people online, generate sales, collect money, and then market whatever else it is that you have to market after that. Now, if you want to make more money, there's a value of optimizing the way that people can pay you. So we're going to talk about some different strategies to get people to pay you here. And again, some of these may be integrated directly on the website. Some of these might be things that you can utilize email for or other techniques. Now, first of all, let's just talk a little bit about the concept of how much money you collect and when. Because in the past, oftentimes you were able to collect funds in full. And when the economy suffered a challenge a number of years back, 2008-2009, what companies found all of a sudden was that people had a limited capability to pay in full. And, you know, for a lot of businesses, their model is to collect, you know, full payment. And so suddenly they found that they had to make adjustments in order to collect money differently. And so instead of collecting a full payment, one of the options that you have is to offer a payment plan. A payment plan is where you collect an initial down payment, and then you collect ongoing payments. And there's different formulas for this, and I want to run through a few of these ideas. But before I do that, I just want to check in out on the Facebook group. I want to see who's posting out there, and I want to encourage you to go out and post. As I'm sharing this information, I want you to share your takeaways, and let's also set a goal for the call today. Let's start off with a goal of 35 comments. Our goal is 35 comments, and I may up the goal a little bit later here. Let's see. It looks like we're already up to about 17 comments, so great job. We're already halfway there, so that's awesome. Let's see. Roy says, hi, Rick. Hi, everyone. Susan says, hi, Roy. Is your weather about the same as ours or colder? Teresa says, hi, everyone. It's beautiful spring weather here in Iowa. And then getting into some other posts here. So I'll pop out there in a few minutes and read the posts and come back out there. But let's continue diving into this content here. So what's a good option for a payment plan? Well, number one, it depends on the amount of what it is that you're offering. So obviously the larger amount, you're probably going to have to spread the payments out over a larger period. Now, here's another idea is that when you're offering a payment plan, then you're going to have the option or the opportunity at least to have two different options for payment. And so you can have a full pay option where you collect everything, or you could have a partial payment plan where they pay make payments over time. I wouldn't recommend having more than three different options, though. After a while, it starts to get confusing, and we know that the confused mind doesn't buy. Because here's the thing. Some people are very technical and analytical, and so when you give them multiple payment options, they're going to try to do the math on that, and they're going to try to figure out what the best option or the opportunity is. So the more options you get, the more work they have to do. And when you put them into that, you know, frame of mind, then they're just going to shut down at a certain point because they can't figure it out. So the fewer options, generally the better. So two options, maximum three options if you're going to do a payment plan. Now, you could also just offer a payment plan option. So some people think you have to offer both a full payment and a payment plan, but it could be for certain products that you might just simply offer a payment plan option. Now, you might get questions from people saying, hey, can I just pay this in advance? Because here's the thing. If you take a payment plan option and you add it up, in general, it will usually come up higher than a full pay option. So as businesses, we don't charge for interest, but often we can provide a kind of a take action bonus or a discount for those who pay in advance. So you don't typically you don't want to use language like, well, if you make the payment plan option, we're charging you interest. We're not really charging interest, so we're just providing a discount for people who pay in advance. I mean, really, it comes down to a hassle factor, because here's the fact. The fact is, in a lot of cases, when people sign up for a payment plan option, there's a risk that you're not going to collect payment in full over time. So you just want to take that into account. So we're kind of back into that option if you offer a payment plan, that you might end up having to chase the client afterwards and kind of become a collection agency. But it's a little bit different story than where you don't invoice at all. At least in the case of a payment plan, you've collected some money, and now you're just following up for the payment options. And we'll talk about this in a moment, but one thing we want to be able to do is we want to be able to handle this automatically. So this is ideal if we can just automatically deduct funds on an ongoing basis. So we don't want to necessarily have to call people and get a credit card number or do things that's not automated, but, you know, sometimes we have to do that. All right. So another thought here is on the topic of how to invoice clients for your work. So if you want to be able to, some of you might have a pretty sophisticated operation set up, and you have a lot of flexibility in how you can bill your customers. You may have sales pages set up with links for people to purchase. For others, you might not have something like a shopping cart in place, which gives you the option to put a button on a page where people can just click and then automatically pay it. And you may not have your shopping cart linked to a merchant account. So if you don't have any of that and you still want to be able to collect money, let me give you a simple strategy that you can use, and it's to use PayPal. PayPal has a hidden feature, something that a lot of people don't even know about, that's called an invoice. And so you can go into PayPal, you can go in and you can create an invoice, you can email that invoice to a client, they can click on a button, and then they can pay through PayPal. So a lot of people have PayPal accounts, and some people maintain balances in their account, and even if they don't have any money in their PayPal account, then if they go to pay the account, it'll move money basically from their credit card or from their checking account over to PayPal to pay you. So it's a really simple process. But you need to know how to go in and set up the invoices. And I've used this strategy a lot in the past. I have a lot of sales pages that are set up. So I've gone deep into the buckets of money strategy. I've created a lot of products and programs, and so I have a lot of different sales pages that are out there. And those are all fully automated to charge and bill and everything like that. I do it through a shopping cart that's integrated in with PayPal. But at the same time, I've also used invoices as well. There are certain times when I just prefer the invoicing process, and again, it works great if you have like a one-time payment that you're collecting. And within PayPal, you can even set up templates. See, I like doing things where if I have to do it again, I can just create it once, and then I can just go back and duplicate it. I've already done the work to add the information in there, and then I can utilize it. In fact, I've even reached the max on it on PayPal. I think PayPal allows you to create somewhere in the range of about 40 or 50 invoices, and so I have 40 to 50 different invoice templates that I've used for different products or services that I create over time. And if you're somebody who offers a service, by the way, invoices are great, because you may not want to go through the process of creating a sales page. That might be too much work for you. You might have conversation with somebody and they said, yeah, I'll sign up for that. That's fine. And then you could just go in and create an invoice, and then 5 minutes later, you could send that invoice to the client, they could fill it out, and then you could collect payment. And now you can do the work. So invoices are great where you have something that you're not necessarily planning to, you may not be offering on a teleseminar or webinar or something like that. You don't need a page where people can go to. You just need to be able to have a conversation, someone agrees to it, and then you send a link where they can go fill it out and pay for it. So if you have not explored invoicing with PayPal, I would encourage you to do that. And by the way, for some of you, maybe you're not in a service-based business where you have a service that you can offer people, but maybe you could be. Maybe you could create a service. This is people are always looking for ways to make money. And you've got, sometimes you have to think outside the box. If what you're doing is not bringing in money, I kind of have to experiment a little bit. And so you might want to think, is there something that I could do that people would be willing to pay for? Even if you offered something, you know, at a price, I mean, maybe it's $97 or something. Could you come up with a service that, you know, maybe it's an hour's worth of work for you, maybe it's 2 or 3 hours of work, you charge $97 for it, you could create an invoice, and then you just start, you know, scheduling calls with people and talking to them. And what's great is if you could create a service where you could add value to someone, you could help build trust and rapport, and then you could lead them to a next step, some other service or a product that you offer, or if you have a network marketing opportunity leading toward that. This could be a big idea for some of you to think about what kind of service that you could offer where you could actually collect some money up front. Once you do that, suddenly that starts to open up some new doors, because that is a strategy that you could go deeper on. You could create a sales page for it. You could do a teleseminar or a webinar. You could use that as an opportunity to create more value. So invoices are simple to set up. And by the way, anytime you do something like create an invoice or create an invoice template, I do recommend that you document your process. You create a written procedure. You could use Microsoft Word. You could use Google Docs. Essentially, what you want to do is you want to write down the steps that are involved. For some processes, there might be only 2 to 3 steps. For others, there might be 5 to 10 steps. But just make a list of those steps, because guaranteed, if you don't do something on a regular basis, when you go in to do it, you're probably going to forget what to click on. And, you know, some online systems, some of these features are kind of buried in there. You know, some systems are more complicated than others. So for PayPal, you might be clicking all around trying to find, oh, where are my invoices? Where do I go for that? Do I click here or there? You just want to have it, you know, have a simple, short procedure which will tell you what to do. That's a real time saver. All right, we're going to open up for questions here in a moment. I'll go out into the Facebook group and start reading some of the comments here in about 6 minutes. But let me continue on. So here's another idea for you. For those of you who are offering services, some of you might be working by the hour, you know, which is not a bad way to do it. I mean, there are some people who say don't charge by the hour, like there's some kind of, you know, big issue with charging by the hour. But here's the thing. You know, if you can get paid for doing something, and if you can make some decent money, then why not charge by the hour? That's a great, easy way to figure things out. Some people try to make things too complicated by not doing that. Now, I offer some services by the hour. I offer some services on retainer. And by the way, that's another strategy you can use, is you can have a retainer. That's more of like a traditional strategy that an attorney would use. You pay for a retainer up front, and then as they use the services over time, they just deduct that amount of time from the retainer. That's another model that you can use for charging. But another way to do it is by the project. And so I do this for some projects as well. For example, in some cases, one of the services that I offer clients is I build websites. And so when I have somebody who wants to have a website built, typically I would just charge on a project basis. I would say, here's what's included in the project. Here's how much the project costs. And so if I'm working on a project basis, then I don't keep track of all the time. I mean, I'd keep track of it myself so I know how much time it's taking. And sometimes it comes out less, and sometimes it comes out more. But the point is, I'm saying, here's what I'm going to get done for this price. And so that's another way of doing things, is on the project basis. And in general, the general rule of thumb is if you're charging by the product, you should be able to charge more than if you were charging simply by the hour. That's not always the case, but that's the general rule of thumb. Now, here's the tricky part. So now we get into the tricky part here. If you're going to do a payment plan, then you need to be able to set up recurring payments. This is where you can ongoingly bill the client or the customer. So in general, this is not something that you can do unless you have the appropriate system. Like if you just set up a PayPal account and you go in and you say, okay, where do I set up recurring payments? PayPal doesn't allow you just to set up a recurring payment plan option through PayPal. It doesn't work like that, at least that I found in the past. What you need is some kind of an e-commerce system or shopping cart system that will do it. And so you have to be able to go in and set up the terms in terms of, you know, what is the initial down payment or the initial payment you're collecting, and then what are the payments that you're collecting over time, and then what is the frequency between the payments. Like in general, most companies collect payments monthly. That's just a simple time frame that they use to collect it. And, you know, so they might have an initial down payment, and then they might have a monthly payment over a certain number of months. So in that case, then you need a way to set up those recurring payments. Because if you don't, then you're going to collect the first payment, and then you're not going to be able to collect the rest of the payments. That doesn't work so well. Now, the workaround, if you don't have, say, a shopping cart system, would be that you're going to have to invoice them. And that's kind of a pain, because now you have to go out and you have to send out an invoice. It goes out as an email, and they're going to have to go find the email, and you might have to call them and remind them or post a message on social media, send them a private message or something like that to say, hey, I just sent out the invoice, blah, blah, blah. So that's not the best way of doing it. Best way of doing it would be where you can just automatically have their account charged. And in general, you know, in most cases, we're talking about credit cards or potentially a debit card that we'd be deducting the money from. Now, there is another alternative, by the way. And that alternative is to where you go in and you process the payment yourself. Now, to do that, you're probably going to need, well, you're definitely going to need a merchant account. And so for businesses who are going to be conducting, you know, business and handling credit card transactions on an ongoing basis, at some point, you probably need a merchant account. And so you need the ability to go in and then charge a payment against a customer's account. So, you know, this starts to get a little bit more complicated, and this is where people's eyes start to glaze over a little bit. But, you know, if you have an ongoing relationship where you're going to be deducting somebody's account and you're just going in and charging the payments, you probably want to have something in documentation indicating that you have approval to do that. That would probably be a best practice. All right. Now, I want to talk for a moment. What happens when people stop paying? So if people stop paying, then now we're back to that collection conversation. Now you're having to follow up, pick up the phone, a call, send out an email, do things to be able to reach out to collect payment. Sometimes it's not an issue of the customer not having the money, for instance. Maybe sometimes the card attempts to be charged and then it is not able to because there are not funds available. But sometimes it's because the expiration date, the card is expired, and so it's past the date. So you have to proactively monitor these things. And if you have a credit card on file and that credit card is no longer good, if the information is bad, now you have to go and update that. By the way, if you're deducting from PayPal, you don't have to worry about that. PayPal doesn't expire. And so as long as the account is current and active, then it can continue to charge from PayPal. Now, I guess the issue would be on their side. If they don't have a PayPal balance and PayPal is going to have to go out and collect from the credit card, they have to maintain that credit card on PayPal with a current date. Otherwise, that credit card could expire on their PayPal account. Again, this is where it starts to get a little complicated here. So at some point, you might have to pick up the phone, call your customer, your client, and say, hey, had a problem with the credit card, just wanted to follow up. We need to resolve this and then work through that issue. All right. We're at the bottom of the hour, so I'm going to pop out on the Facebook page. I've got a few more ideas I'll share, and I'll come back out there in a moment, but let me go ahead and start reading some of the comments out in the Facebook group here. Let's see. Roy says, Rick, I found the main page for the sales tech site, but I am not sure I got the archive link. The archive link should be in the email. In fact, let me think for a moment. Where is... Yeah, I'll find that link out a little bit later. I thought, actually, you know what? I have it right here. Hang on. There it is. Okay. I'm going to copy and paste this link into the group. Audio recordings for STP here. If you see STP and you're thinking the oil company, STP just stands for Sales Technology Program, I figured that would be just an easy acronym to use. But yeah, whenever I hear STP, I think of the oil brand. All right, let's see. Susan says, that sounds like a very important topic to me. Oh yeah, collecting money, absolutely. Susan says, when I did a membership program last year, I only had a few members, so I just logged into PayPal each month to send them each an individual invoice. I would love to learn how to make it more automated. Yeah, that would be where you'd have to integrate in with a shopping cart to do that. And so when you have a shopping cart, you can set PayPal up as a merchant account. In fact, you can have both a merchant account and a PayPal account linked into a shopping cart system or e-commerce system. Alan Brian Murphy says, PayPal invoicing and recurring payment, the mystery, the drama, the intrigue, and the skullduggery. Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for sharing that, Alan. Roy says, sales page helps automate payment collection. Definitely. It definitely does that because people read the copy and then they click on the button and they purchase. That's a very effective strategy. Alan says, many people are annoyed or even offended when asked to pay for services they contracted for and already received. Yes, very surprising, but that is the fact. So you're always better off trying to collect money up front than trying to collect it after the fact. Go figure. Susan says, is that Joe Polish recording available somewhere? He is definitely an expert on direct response marketing. Roy includes a link out to his YouTube videos. I don't know if that's the specific one that I watched, but I'll see if I can find the link to it. Roy says, payment plan as payment automation strategy. Yes. Susan says, thanks, Roy. Another guy who is really good in direct response marketing is John Carlton, and I recently discovered his YT channel. Lots of good stuff. Awesome. YT standing for YouTube. Alan says, goal of 35 comments today. We might have already blown past that. I'll have to update here in a second. So let's just automatically increase it to 60 comments because I have a feeling you guys are on course to do it. Susan says, Teresa, where are you in Iowa? I have friends in Fairfield, and I'm going there in a couple weeks. Awesome. Isn't it almost election time again? Whenever I hear Iowa, I think of the presidential election. Roy says, Alan, my experience has been that most people are more embarrassed and guilty about paying late than offended. Yeah, it could be both emotions there. Teresa says, Susan, I'm in a suburb of Des Moines. You might give me a call when you're there. And there's my link. All right, let me go ahead and refresh comments here. While I'm refreshing, let me go ahead and check for some additional notes to share with you here. Wait for it to pull up. All right. By the way, if you have any questions, feel free to post those as well. Okay. Here's a good one. How to reinforce the sale after the fact. So when you have a sale, it's a good idea to be able to follow up after the sale because there's a period of time where people kind of evaluate that sale. And so if you can follow up and reinforce the purchase that they made, then that increases the likelihood that that sale will stick, that they will continue to pay. So it's a good idea to follow up with those who purchase. All right, let's see here. Roy says PayPal invoice option, and Alan says PayPal has a hidden invoicing feature. Yeah, by the way, I call it hidden just because it's difficult to find on there, but they didn't design it to be a hidden feature. It just kind of turns out to be that way. A lot of people who use PayPal don't even think of PayPal as having that option. They understand PayPal as, I go to a website and then I click on a button to pay through PayPal. So they don't even realize that PayPal has this piece where you can just send an email and collect the money that way. So, it's definitely something to consider because oftentimes people try to make things too complicated or they don't, they won't launch a service because they think, oh, I need a sales page to offer it. But all they would have to do is just, talk to somebody and they say, yes, I'll buy. And then they create the invoice and email it out and that's it. And then the money comes in. So you want to find ways that you can get the money rolling in as quickly as possible. And so if you think it's going to take you 6 weeks to get something implemented, you know, why not do something where you could have it done in 5 minutes, and an invoice could be that simple. So sometimes people overcomplicate things. Alan says, document the steps that you need to do for invoicing. Makes it easy to do the next time. Absolutely. Always have those resources available. Susan says, PayPal actually has some good procedure documentation for customers, but I create my own document with hyperlinks to the PayPal documentation and reminders of what I have to do for each part. Good point. Roy says, I charge by the project. Awesome. Susan says, I've had a few times where I really underestimated the project, and I ended up making about $20 per hour by the time I did all the work. Yeah, that's the thing, is that you know, people think just automatically charging by the project is going to give them more money, but often what happens is they underestimate the amount of work, and then they end up kind of undercharging for their time. So that will happen at times. So, you know, just because everybody else is out there saying don't charge by the hour, you know, don't think that's the only way to do that. Alan says, the tricky part is recurring payments. Can't set up in PayPal by itself. Need to set up payments through a shopping cart system. Yes, a shopping cart or e-commerce or some kind of system like that, something like Infusionsoft or One Shopping Cart or something else. Roy says, Susan, that happens a lot. It's better to overestimate for that reason. Absolutely. Roy says, use an e-commerce system to help automate PayPal payments. Definitely. Let's see. Roy said, I did think of STP oil too. Yeah, it just kind of worked out that way. And technically, the program is a sales technology training program, so it actually should be STTP, but I just shortened it to STP to make it simple. And the Facebook group, it just says sales, I think it just says sales technology program on it. Yeah, sales technology program. So I kind of dropped the training piece just to keep the font big enough to fit on the page there. So I wanted to keep it consistent with that. Susan says, I couldn't figure out what the P stands for. Thanks for explaining. Yeah, program. Roy said, thanks for the link, Rick. I had a stash where you have a – or I had a slash where you had the hyphen. That was a problem. Okay, got it. Yeah, generally when I do URLs for websites, I put dashes in between the words. That technique is really for search engine optimization, which, because this is kind of a hidden membership page, I don't really need it optimized. But that's just my habit when I create those web pages. So I put the SCP dash archives. Roy said, increasing to 60 comments. Yeah, and I double checked. I think we're at 36, so we're on our way towards 60. Alan says, we can do it. Yeah. Thanks for the encouragement. Susan says, as I recall, PayPal refers to it as request money rather than invoicing. Yeah, that might be the button on the top of the page. Roy says, yes, PayPal has a few larger user guides. Susan says, so Rick, are you saying that if I add a buy button to a sales page, I can only do a one-time payment? That's my understanding, Susan. For clients that have had set up things like that, I don't think you can set it up where it will just automatically set up a recurring payment. But if you figure that option out, let me know, because that would be useful to know. But in most cases, I found you have to have the shopping cart system to be able to collect the recurring payment option. All right, well, I'll refresh again. In the meantime, let me pop out and see if I've got a few additional ideas that I can share. Looks like we've got about 20 minutes left on the call, so keep the ideas coming, keep the takeaways coming, and keep your questions coming. And also, if you have any other tips that you want to share, feel free to share those as well. Okay, let's see. Tips to leverage video to reduce buyer's remorse. So there's a couple different techniques you can use if you're following up after the sale. One would be to create an autoresponder series. Another would be to create a series of videos, which, by the way, you could use the autoresponder series to send people out to the videos. So, you know, one thought is that you want to get people into action right away. So after people purchase, then you want to start, you know, working on, you know, give them something that they can do right away. Get them into action. And generally, the quicker they get into action, the quicker that they actually start experiencing value. And it could be that part of that value is just, you know, getting them into action around that. And then there's additional value that you'll create as well. So that's a technique that you can use. And those are strategies that I'm working on in my own business as well through the Sales Tech Systems as a division of Eric Laufholm International. So we're working on a lot of automation in our business right now. We're helping clients implement automation, and we're implementing automation strategies ourselves. Now, another idea is the importance of adding buttons to your sales pages. I think I mentioned this on one of the prior calls, but there was a, I don't know if it was necessarily a study, but one company found that they got the best results with the orange buttons. Orange buttons. So that's something to think about. And some of the tools that I use give you the option to create orange buttons for the site. And that's actually the color that I prefer best as well. The tool that I use, I think, provides yellow, red, and orange as options for buttons. And then you can also have graphic designers create buttons as well. And that's something that people often miss out on. Like, you know, oftentimes when people hire a graphic designer, they'll have them create branded materials. Like, in fact, I just sent off a request today to my graphic designer. I've been working on creating more graphics for Sales Tech Systems, and so I sent off a request to create a graphic for a Facebook page. I actually set up a Facebook page yet, but I haven't really promoted it yet because I don't have a Facebook cover. And so as a social media expert, I don't want to put the cart before the horse and start promoting it. So I just got my request off to my graphic designer today to get the Facebook cover, so you'll start seeing that. I'll start, once I have the cover up on the site, which will probably be in about a week, then I'll start inviting people to like that page and start building the likes on that page. In addition, I also submitted a request for a Facebook cover image, or not a cover, sorry, I just said that, a Facebook event image. And so for the, like for the sales technology program, I've been using a graphic image from my business, from Social Media Outcomes. And so I need to replace that with one for Sales Tech Systems. So I sent that off to my graphic designer to create. The other thing is on the one that I'm using, you know, Facebook has a way of changing things up. And every time they change something, it kind of blows up what you have in place. And so one of the things they did was they moved the text information on a Facebook event from down below the image, actually onto the image. And I don't know why they would do that. I think sometimes they do it just to mess with people. That's the only way I can explain it. I don't know why you would give people an option to have a cover image and then take text and put it over the cover image. So what ends up happening is you have text overlapping text, which then you can't read it. So I had to let my graphic designer know to update that, and I'm going to have to go back and update my other graphics as well for the event cover images. If you know what that means, great. If you don't know about it, don't worry about it unless you plan on doing Facebook events. But it's just customized branding around you know, your Facebook marketing promotions. So at any rate, I'm having those graphics done, and so that'll be nice when those come out and they're available. All right, let me pop back over to the Facebook page real quick. I see more comments popping out here. Let's see. Roy says, yes, PayPal has a few. Oh, I already read that one. Roy says, after people purchase, get them into action as soon as possible to deliver value. Yes. Alan says, give people something to do right away. Awesome. Roy says, some companies have gotten good results with orange buttons. Yep. Alan says, orange buttons are the latest style. Wow, Roy and Alan, you're like synced up right now. You guys are sharing the same takeaways. Great. Susan says, I think Facebook makes some of those changes to provide work for designers. Yeah, no doubt. That's what ends up happening is, and see the, you know, in today's economy, in the online marketing economy, you've got to have graphic designers that you can go to create things. I mean, you just need to have people on hand to create. Oh, you know what? I remember my train of thought. I got off track there for a second. So, what I was going to say earlier was that you can hire graphic designers in addition to doing like Facebook graphics. You can hire them to create buy buttons on your sales page. Most people just use the default graphics that might come with some of the tools that are available to create sales pages. But you could actually hire a designer to create a customized image. And by the way, you can also just search online. There's tons of little buy buttons, but you know, you're going to get what you get. But it might make sense at some point to have a custom designed button. And I recommend having as big a button as possible to purchase. And there's all sorts of call to actions that you can have. In fact, let me just make a note. I want to make sure that I want to cover this the next time I cover this call too, is big buttons, and then also calls to action on buttons. So some of the examples would be buy now, order now, sign up now, enroll now. And you don't necessarily have to say now. It's just one of those things where, you know, it's an additional sense of urgency. But those are some of the options there. All right, next idea. How to insert buying links into your email. So here's another great idea. You know, working with Eric Lofholm, Eric uses Infusionsoft. And Infusionsoft is kind of the, say, how would you describe it? I don't know if I would describe it as the Cadillac of the e-commerce systems that are out there. But let's just put it this way. It's endorsed by Dan Kennedy. It's used by a lot of internet marketers. It has a higher price point, but it also is one of the more complex systems that's out there. So for the average user, they're going to get into it and probably be lost trying to implement the system. But I've been using Infusionsoft for years. I've used it both with Eric. I also used it when I worked as affiliate manager for Laura Langmire. And, you know, it's a great system. It has a lot of capability, and you can build in a lot of automation into it. And the other thing is, you know, so if you have a sales page, for instance, you can have a conversation with someone over the phone, and if they're ready to purchase, then you could just send them a link to the order form. You don't even need a sales page. Like Infusionsoft, you can create an order form online, and then it gives you a link, and for whatever reason, they're Infusionsoft order forms, it always has this long, funky link, and at the end, it has like eight letters at the end. And it's just kind of a bizarre combination of letters. And it's probably because they just, you know, they want to be able to have, you know, they create all these different ones. It'd be nice if you could actually name the order form, but you don't have that capability through there. And most shopping cart systems are like that. I use one shopping cart, and it gives you some kind of a link with a long number at the end of it. So none of those links are really super. It's not like you could just tell somebody over the phone and they could write it down and go to it. So really what you have to do is if you're following up, then you have to send them a link. Now, by the way, let me give you another little tip here. So here's another little tip to help you get into action to collect money as fast as possible if you're talking to somebody. If you're going to be on the phone with somebody, then in addition to email, make sure that you are connected online in some other way so that you could send them a link quickly. So let me give you a suggestion here. There might be a reason for you both to be on Facebook at the same time. So early in a conversation, you might send them a link to something. You might say something like, in fact, let me jot this down real quick here. So, all right, so Facebook, another tool is Skype, another tool is GoToWebinar. So you want to have some way that while you're talking to them, you could just shoot them quickly a link that they could get access to. And so early on in a conversation, you can say, hey, here's a website I want you to take a look at. I'm going to share it to you on a private Facebook message. Go click on the link. So now they have Facebook open. They have their private messages open with you, and you've shared a link. What that does is it leaves Facebook open. You could just say, oh, by the way, just leave Facebook open for now. I might have another link to share with you later. And then later on in the conversation, when it comes time to close the sale, then now it's a matter of, okay, well, what's the next step? And so the next step is, well, let me go ahead and share a link with you where you could sign up. And you just copy and paste that link directly into the Facebook message or into Skype or into GoToWebinar, and they can click on the link and immediately go out to the page. See, a lot of people don't take the time to think through this process. They kind of get to that point, and then they go, oh, how do I get the link to them? And then they have to figure it out. But I would suggest that this is part of your strategy, that you understand this in advance, you know that you want somebody to go there, and then you have a means or a mechanism that you can quickly get them a link that they can click on and go out to the page. That's part of what Eric Lofholm refers to as integrating technology into the sales process, integrating technology into the sales process. We're going to wrap up the call in a few minutes. Let me pop back out to the Facebook page real quick and see if anybody else is has shared any other comments out there. All right, just refreshing right now. By the way, let's do this. Why don't you share your biggest takeaway from the call? Yeah, when I started off this call, I said, on the surface of it, it sounds like this could be a boring topic. But, I think if you look back, in fact, this would be a good one to go back and review afterwards. It looks like we're at 55 comments. We've got 5 comments to go. Great job. But this would be a good one to go back to listen to, because this is all about how to get money into your pocket faster. How to get, maybe I should rename this, call, how to get money in your pocket faster. Maybe that would make it a more popular topic. In fact, I'm going to make a note of that. How to get money in your pocket, or maybe your bank account, faster. That's a more benefit-oriented title. All right, let's see here. Scrolling down. All right, Alan says, getting graphics can be a good thing. Absolutely. Roy says, best practice is to split test different color buttons for your specific sales page. Yeah, split testing works great if you have the ability to drive a large amount of traffic. Anytime you're going to do any kind of statistical analysis, you want to make sure that you have a statistically significant sample. Part of my background in getting to where I am today is when I studied in school, I earned a bachelor's degree in business administration with a concentration in marketing. Then I went back and I earned my MBA with a focus on MIS, which stands for Management Information Systems or Computer Systems, and then also finance. And so I've spent time in statistics courses. When I first started out in college, actually, I had multiple years of calculus. I took pre-calc, calc 1, calc 2, calc 3, calc 4. I took physics. I did a lot of science and math. And I can tell you just from a statistics standpoint, if you're dealing with small numbers, like in the tens or the hundreds, it's really tough to get a statistically significant sample. And therefore, even if you're doing split testing, you can't really draw much of a conclusion from the results. And many small businesses, they're small. They don't have a very large list. If you send an email out to 1,000 people and 10% open the email, that's only 100 people. So you're starting off with only 100 people. If 10% of people actually click on a link, that's 10 people. That's 10 out of 1,000 people that you send an email message to actually click on the link. And if you split test and you cut that in half, then that's 5 people clicking on one link and 5 people clicking on another link. And then trying to evaluate results out of 5 people out of 1,000 and compare that, you can't really draw much of a conclusion for it. So split testing is great for bigger businesses, Fortune 500 companies, multi-million dollar companies. But if you haven't built your company to the point that you have tens of thousands of people on your list, then split testing may not be worth the effort. It's not to say that it's not a good skill to develop, and it's not to say that you won't get some information from it. It's just that some of the things that you do in statistics or in analysis, you can't really draw big conclusions from it. You can't say, I can assume that if I use this page that it's going to double my sales. And you might not be able to make that assumption. So just a thought. Let's see. Alan says, stand out with a big customized buy button calling people to click them. Yes, absolutely. Roy says, Infusionsoft is a more expensive option for small online businesses. Yeah, it's a more expensive option for sure. Susan says, here's a place where you can design a button for free. Yeah, there are free online button creators. And so this one says, looks like properties.com, but she's got a link right there in the Facebook group. So if you're listening to the audio recording, you can go back to the Facebook notes in the Facebook group from today's date, which is April 22nd, 2014, and find that link there. Alan says, send links to them as a next step. Yeah, if you just want to pop a link over to them through Facebook or Skype or something else like that, then do that. By the way, that's another benefit if you do appointments through a Skype call. If you do a Skype video chat or just a Skype audio call, you're automatically in a messaging system, and so you can easily just send them a link through the chat that way. That's one of the reasons why you might want to do that rather than just a phone. Something to think about. Let's see. Roy says, plan with the end game in mind. Absolutely. Just understand the strategy of what you're trying to accomplish and make it easy for them to take action. Susan says that's a great strategy to share quick links like that. You could also use Link and Twitter and Google Plus. Roy says, biggest takeaway is the hidden PayPal invoicing option. Yeah, I'm surprised you don't know about that one. Maybe you do already and you're just sharing that. But if you don't know about that invoicing option through PayPal, that's a great takeaway. And you can create those customized templates. And, you know, the template is not really designed to sell it. There's a part where you can add a description in. You can add multiple breakouts. You can also add discounts. So, but we didn't even get into this strategy today. Maybe I'll add this on for the next time I do this call. Let me make a note here. Pricing, discounts. I'm taking notes here, and drop sell strategy. Pricing, discounts, and drop sell strategy. So the next time I do this call, I will talk about that and make sure we build that in. Let's see. Oh, by the way, before I forget, I meant to mention this at the top of the hour. Today we're covering Module 12 in the series of 12 modules. We're going to start back on Module 1 in 2 weeks. But next week, I want you to join me for a special group coaching call. So we're doing a group coaching call, and so it's not going to be me sharing information. It's going to be me opening up the call and then having you talk on the call. So I want you to spend this next week thinking about what it is that you want to share. And so there's a couple things that you're going to be able to share. You can share a success. So maybe you've taken an action or a strategy that I've taught you in this program. Maybe you've implemented it, and you can talk about the success that you had with it. You can share a tip. Maybe you have some kind of an idea around sales technology, something you want to share with other people. You can ask a question. Maybe you have some kind of question. Or you can also ask for feedback. Maybe you've implemented something online and you want feedback on it. And so you could share a link in the Facebook group. I can click and then go out and take a look at it. So I want you to think over the next week about how you can get prepared for that call. That'll be next week, which is on the 29th, and then the week after that, in the first week of May, we're going to start back over with Module 1. All of the calls are recorded, and they're available online. I shared the link earlier. You can also find the link in the email. If you missed any of the calls in the series, I encourage you to go back and listen to them. And I also want to encourage you to commit to join me for the next 12 modules. See, I think there's a value of being on these calls live. I know there's a value in participating on these calls in the Facebook group. Those of you who are participating actively in the Facebook group and you're posting in the group, then that's helping you to process and assimilate that information. It helps you to retain that information better. And it's also helpful for other people too. So I want to thank all of our active participants out in the group today, Roy Rasmussen, Alan Brian Murphy, Susan Joy Sleaf, and I think we've had a few others posting here. I'm just scrolling back up to see if anybody else posted. Teresa Rippey posted. And I think that's everyone. So there's a couple folks on the call that have not posted in the group yet today. And you know, I know sometimes folks are listening in on the phone. You might be driving somewhere, and so you're not able to. And that's perfectly fine. All right, a couple last comments here, and then we'll wrap the call for today. Let's see. Roy said, this topic is vital for actually making money. Yeah, making money, and there's a word that I use, which is collecting money. Because, you know, making money is one thing, but collecting it is another. And so it's a matter of getting that money in the door. And that means, you know, having it, you know, either coming in through PayPal, coming in through a merchant account. Sometimes it doesn't immediately come into your bank account. Sometimes there's an intermediate step, and that can take a couple days. But the sooner it comes in your door, the sooner it gets into your bank account, the sooner it gets into your pocket. Roy says, I've seen people run a great sales campaign and then drop the ball when it comes to accepting payments and delivering the product. Yeah, good point. Absolutely. That happens all the time. Alan says, many payments available for payment, simple one time to more complex recurring invoices. Absolutely. Roy says, and by the way, a good point there is the more work that you have to do in collecting the money, that's time away from either marketing, sales, or delivering. And I want to be spending more of my time serving my clients. I want to spend more of my time getting the word out there. The more time that I have to spend on, you know, collecting the money and doing all that, it's taken me away from my passion, my purpose, what drives me and motivates me, and it's putting me into a state of having to, you know, deal with the money things. In fact, one of the benefits for me working with Eric Laufholm right now is I don't have to do all that. When I'm running my own business, then I have to wear all the hats in the business. I have contractors who help out with certain things, but typically I handle the money. And so working with Eric, he has a staff of people that help. And Infusionsoft is a very flexible system to be able to set up for collecting payments. So, you know, there's a benefit. You know, working with Eric, it puts me more in my zone of where I'm good. And that's something to think about for your own business. Roy says, yes, ideally you'd have a sample in the range of 200 to 1,000 visits. Susan says, and I would say, by the way, Roy, not only just visits, but actually people taking action. Because you'll get a percentage off of who takes action after a visit. And by the way, you need tracking mechanisms in place to know how many people are actually, you know, how many people are clicking, how many people are visiting a site, how many people are actually taking action to purchase, for instance. Susan says, my best takeaway is the last idea of having a chat link open during a sales conversation. Yeah, that's about being intentional. That's about planning in advance. That's about setting up the conversation at the beginning so that you're ready at the end. You don't want to be saying, oh, can you open up Facebook? Oh, I don't have it open. Or, oh, shoot, I got to boot up my computer. That's being ready in advance. You want to be intentional about that. Susan says, speaking of direct response marketing, I saw a good video about it from Andy Jenkins recently. I'll have to see if I can find the link and share it. Yeah, that would be great, Susan. She says that he went over the differences between direct response and other marketing. Awesome. Well, on that note, we're going to wrap up the call for today. I hope you got a ton of information. This wraps up the 12 modules the first time through. And so I want you to join me back the next time through. Join me next week for the special group coaching call. And the following week, we'll be covering module one again and diving right back into the content. So I want to encourage you to join me for the series again. Commit to participate. Commit to be on all these calls. And then take action on these calls. So thanks for joining me. Have a great week. And God bless.